Amen. Let's get into the word tonight. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 15, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Folks, I want to preach to you tonight why the devil hates the church. Come on, saints. Why the devil hates the church. Father, we thank you, God Almighty. We thank you for this opportunity to be in the house of God. We thank you, Lord, that we can be a part of the real thing. We have a chance. There is a potential. There is a hope. Oh, my God. My God Almighty. Lord, we look through the cloud. We look through the fog. We look through the surroundings. We look through elements about us. Dear God, and see still the glory of the Lord before us. The command of God at our back, the will of God in our hearts, the purpose of God upon our lives, the Spirit of God invested in us to make us strong for the work, for the battle, to accomplish the will of God. We pray tonight that you would empower and anoint your church for this hour. Lord, your church is raising up its head. Oh, God, it's had its head down. Much it still has its head down. There are many of its groups still to be brought in. There's much of it to be discarded and laid waste along the way. But, oh, God, the intention of your church in this hour, Lord God, is to get up. My God, the call is upon it. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. You've not changed your mind concerning your will towards your church. Oh, in this hour, Father, you've invested yourself in the life of your church. The enemy seeks to destroy it, set it out of the way. He hates the church. My God Almighty, but you've employed it. You've empowered it. You've anointed it. You caused it to succeed and to be the overcomer you've called it to be. We pray, Father, that you would anoint your church in this hour. Raise it up to accomplish your purpose in the face of circumstance. No matter what somebody says, no matter what people do, no matter where they go, how they may fall along the way, dear God Almighty, you accomplish your purpose in the life of your church. We'll thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Somebody said amen. Amen to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a privilege it is to be in the house of God. Now, saints, I want to preach to you tonight from this passage, from this text, Luke chapter 4, verse number 18, why the devil hates the church. Why the devil hates the church. Saints, we are the called of God. Can somebody say amen? We are God's vehicle in this hour. Now, Jesus is standing in the synagogue as his habit was to do. He stood up for to read. Somebody placed into his hands the book of Isaiah. He goes to the portion of Scripture. Very unlikely did he read a word. He was the Word. Come on, say it. I said he was the Word. It flowed out of him as a river of living water. He knew who he was in Christ. He knew who he was. He was the Christ. Amen. He was the Word. He begins to speak as no other man would speak. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because, this is why, he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That means I'm going to open the door into all humanities. That means I'm going to go across the cross section of men. I'm going to reach into the dunghill. I'm going to reach into the Capitol Hill. I'm going into the closets and the byways. I'm going into the country and into the city. I'll find men where they are. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Friends, this passage declares to us tonight the very reason the devil hates the church. Amen. We stand in the place of Christ in this hour. Christ has gone away, but he said, I'm going to leave you a comforter. He is the Holy Ghost. He said, I'll fill you full of the Holy Ghost and fire. Can you shout amen? You'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, saints, we're living in an hour where the devil would try to tell the church, I'm going to take you out. I'm removing your membership. I'm going to demolish your crowd. They're falling by the wayside. Saints, but there is a church in this hour that God has raised up for one purpose. That is to do the will of God. He has sent them for the purpose. They've made up their mind to that end. They're an army marching on. God's will is upon their life. His anointing is within their spirit. You and I will and can and do accomplish the will of God. Can you say amen? This is why the devil hates the church. But saints, I want to tell you around us today that we hadn't found a whole lot of reason to hate the church. If you were the devil, we've invited him into most of our churches. We've laid aside the things that have separated us from the world, and we've invited him in. We've assimilated with the vast mindset of today's society. We've bought into the lie. We've bought into the scenarios. We've bought into the surroundings and to the environment. We've lent ourselves out. You know, we see today that there's not so much need for the occupation of the harlot anymore because it's given away at a free price. Come on, saints. Hear me. The church today has come in such an hour that he doesn't have to bang our walls down. We're leaving the door open for him. Invite him to come in. Amen. We're creating our crowds out of the world system and its mindset. We've deluded ourselves in its ordinances. We've laid aside. We've come to a place of weakness, and now we're looking at a nation that hates God more than it's ever hated God before, and we want nothing to do with the church. Saints, I'm going to tell you, we're getting to the place where God wants little to do with the church. You hear me, saints? We've come into such an hour because the church has become less and less God's definition and less of God's design. Amen. But in the midst of all of these things, God has always and will always have a people. John the Baptist showed up on the scene after 400 years of spiritual darkness. There is a spiritual decline across the planet. Saints, in the midst of this time, after 400 years of spiritual darkness, John the Baptist showed up on the scene. He was the forerunner of the Christ. Saints, we're not looking back now. We're looking up. Amen. We've fallen into a time of spiritual depravity and spiritual darkness. You'd say, Pastor, we have more churches on corners than we've ever owned before. We have larger churches than we've ever had before. Friends, I'm not espousing smallness. I don't want smallness, but saints, I want truth and reality. Amen. We have more known to be the church today than ever before. Would be possessed less than we probably have in any other generation. But in the midst of these circumstances, God is raising up a man for the hour. He is raising up a church that will speak the truth in the midst of this hour without fear nor favor. When Jesus stood up in that crowd today, he didn't quote something they'd never heard before. He quoted from the book of Isaiah, and they recognized that the power of this truth flowed through this man's life. He stood, saints. He didn't only quote the text, but he made it real with his life. He manifested the same. Amen. And people were drawn to it. Saints, in this hour, the only kind of church that God's coming after is one that he instituted in the first place. If you believe it, can you shout amen? Amen. We know that the standard, every church servant, the standard of every church service is that upper room experience. You hear me? That's the standard of every church service. From the day of Pentecost, that was the standard example of every church and every church service. Amen. He said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send you the comfort of the Holy Ghost. He'll bring back to your remembrance everything I told you. Amen. When I've been in this earth, you're to follow me. I've been your example. It is up to you to be as your Lord. Amen. Come on, saints. You and I'll take up the cause of Christ. In this hour, there's got to be, you know, Jesus told Peter, he said, but whom say you that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you. My Father, he said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not, somebody say, shall not prevail against it. Saints, we've got a church today that the gates of hell are prevailing against it. Come on. They don't have to run it out of town. Oh, no. Just digested into the community of the whole. And the church has willingly gone there. But Saints, says the devil today wants nothing to do with a church that refuses to compromise the call of God upon its life. I don't care where that church is found. I'm not talking about denominational affiliation. Saints, we've started understanding we're going to have to get over some of those things. Amen. We've started understanding we're going to have to get over some of those things. But not for the cause of individuality. If you're out here as a maverick trying to serve God, you're out of the will of God. Come on, saint. We're a member of the body of Christ, and the church is a long line of people heading home, and that's all it is. Come on, saint. But God has one divine call. It's not your section. It's not mine. It's not what you think or I think. It's what thus saith the word of the Lord. And that's the only church that heaven and hell recognizes tonight. Amen. It is the division line of all things eternal. Amen. What God does, he's going to do it through his church. Come on, somebody. What God does, he's going to do it through the church. He's not worried what the armies of the world are going to do. He's not concerned about politics. He's not concerned about wicked men of the world. He's not concerned about despots. No, none of that. He's concerned about one thing, my church. He's got his eyes on that sparrow of the church. Come on, son. I said he's got his eyes on that sparrow of the church. If anything moves the heart of God, it is that church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It is that which is called by the name of God. It is that walks in the true desire of the divine God. It is that which hell recognizes in the face of all these things. Jesus said, I'll go, Father. Can you imagine? When he stood up in that synagogue on that day, he took that book of Isaiah in his hand. I wasn't there. I don't know. But something in me says I know. I wasn't there. He's holding that book of Isaiah. But I don't believe his eyes ever fell upon the page. I believe it come up out of who he was. Oh, my God. As he stood and began to preach that word, he just declared that scripture. I mean, you could have heard a pin drop. There wasn't a sound in the nursery. Everybody was listening, all eyes glued upon him standing there, that book in his hand. Saints, he spoke before Isaiah was ever in diapers. Come on, church. He knew from the beginning, and now he held the word of God declaring himself before that multitude. Said, this day is fulfilled in your eyes. I have come, and this is my reason for being here, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And nothing was going to stop that in motion. Nothing could shut that down until he had accomplished everything he was there for. He knew his hour. He knew his calling. And he knew his purpose. Saints of God, in this hour, God must raise up a church who does know their God. Amen. Who walk in the influence of this divine word. Anything outside of this is a travesty with a steeple on top of it. And there is no truth in it. We call everything a church, and we call everybody a Christian today. And when everything's a church and everybody's a Christian, there ain't nobody saved. But hear me say, God has got a people in the midst of this hour. He always has, and he always will have. If you believe it, would you give him a praise? Mando those sulibekeri or telebabokosatai. Oh my God. This is why the devil hates the church. He hates it for everything it's called to be. He knows if that church ever gets up on its feet, Sister Joyce, if that church ever gets up on its feet, oh my God, he's got something to be afraid of then. He knew that. Saints, I'm going to tell you, we say a lot of things about the devil when he's supposed to have crucified Christ on the tree. He knew he didn't do that. Oh, no, he knew he didn't do that. We say, oh, the devil's having a party when he died and they put him in that tomb. I don't believe that. His worst days were before him. I said his worst days were before him. He knew he couldn't stop the Son of God. In death, he spawned life. He's not going to stop that. He's just trying to shut down that church. He's trying to shut down that voice. He's trying to dilute that gospel. He's doing that from the beginning. He can't touch that God. He can't stop that Christ. Amen. He knows that church ever get on its feet. Come on, saints. I said that church ever get on its feet. Oh. Saints, we've been in a sorry state of affairs. We've accepted a diluted thought for our own. We've assimilated with the world. We've brought it in and let it encamp inside. We put everything behind the pulpit and called it a preacher. We've approached the gospel from a multitude of ways. We've assimilated with the thoughts and the ideas and the religious theologies of the world. We've made them our own. You don't have to change. We'll just incorporate you and bring you in. That's a lie. And God will separate that. The device of the church, the device of the devil today is to get us to a place where God will have to puke us out of his own mouth. He can't destroy the church, but he knows who can. So he sets us up so that we'll become an enemy of God. He realized in the Old Testament, the temple that God said, you construct it after this fashion, inch by inch, line by line, after this action. The God who instituted and called it holy said, I'll recognize it when a man looks back to it in time of famine and despair. In this temple of the Lord, it is a holy place. There was the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant of God, the cherubims that wings touched one another. It was a Holy of Holies that the priest, one time of year, came in to make sacrifice before a holy God. God instituted that. But because man fell into a depraved nature and walked in variance before God and fell prey to wickedness, God said, I want nothing to do with that house. I'll destroy it stone by stone until there's not one stone left upon another. And when Israel came back from Babylon after 70 years of captivity, they couldn't build even upon the foundation, for it was stained to the dirt, saints. Satan knows in this hour, if he can create a church that God detests and God hates, God will destroy it again. In the midst of this time, he is removing the church. We've fallen prey to such foolishness. Such foolishness. My God. All kinds of shenanigans go on. There's a worship, saints, and there's this thing foolishly called worship today. We've got a mainline worship today. We've got songs out of every entity that come from that holy place. We'll sing them in one place, sing them in this thing. All of that we've got going on inside the church. Preach everything. A man will live like the devil and come stand behind our pulpits and endeavor to preach this holy word. We've got people leading us in song that no more full of the Holy Ghost. They hadn't been saved. They've backslidden 25 years ago, but they're still in the church. Hear me. Saints, we've created a false institution for which God despises. And in this hour looming before us, there will be a divine removal. Oh, my God. There will be a falling away. Saints, that's not in a man's regard, but God's marching through the church. Judgment begins at the house of God, and the house of God must make itself ready. Men must be called back to righteousness. There must be a voice raised in this hour. I will tell you, as I've often told you, that today, standing behind pulpits, men standing behind pulpits and preaching the word of God, 6 months from now, there will be a great decline in that area. There will be those who are not in the church today. Saints, in a short period of time, you'll see those that once sat on the pew at your side. You'll never see them again. But those who once walked with God, that pulpit ministry that once was saved, now they're out in a place of sin, but somewhere on the broken backside of difficulty and despair, God's going to reach and put a hook in that jaw, and he's going to begin to draw them back to the altar. Oh, hear me, saints of God. There'll be men on that place. They don't know about God. They don't want anything to do with the foolishness of the church. Come go with me. You can drink with me on Friday if you'll come go with me on church on Sunday. That's a lie, saints of God. There is is a world out there sick of seeing that. My God, we've seen all of that false and foolery. That's why we're in the shape that we're in today. Righteousness exalteth the nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. If we don't get a hold of that church, we're blind, deaf, and stupid. But God is raising up a church in this hour that will know the truth. They will come under that truth. They're putting a hook in that jaw, pulling it back. Come on. I'm not going to do it for your sake. He told that Old Testament crowd. He said, I'm going to do it for my own name. I'm doing it for my own name. I am God. And beside me there is not another. I'm going to put a hook in that jaw. I'm going to draw me a people back. I'm going to draw them out of the river. I'm going to draw them from the dispersed places. Saints of God, I'm going to tell you today, worst kind of individual you can deal with is a backslidden Pentecostal preacher. Oh my God, Friday afternoon after he got off work, he laid the gospel aside a long time ago. Now he's out there working out hourly life, making that living, providing for his family. But on Friday afternoon, he makes his way down to his local tavern. There he buys that booze and endeavors to wash that mind away, because John 3:16 is still flooding in his thoughts, and he can't get away from when his mama prayed him through back when he was 10 years old. Come on, saints of God. He still remembers that old time gospel individual in that church, and he's trying to drink the thought of that away. But by the help and the grace of God, God's going to put a hook in that jaw and draw that man back to the altar. Come on, saints. This is the time when God is doing this work. He is after that. The devil knows that if that church ever gets on its feet, amen. I said if the devil, he knows if that church ever gets on its feet, he is in trouble. There is something to be reckoned with. I do believe that the devil is very concerned because he knows enough about God. He was defeated. He knows that he had us a place in eternal hell. What he does, he better do it quickly. My God, he better get everything that he can. All this in his mind. There's a great intensity. Saints, if I was the devil, I'd be doing just what the devil's doing. My time's short. I have little time left. What I do, I better do quickly. What he despises and what he hates is that church that'll get up on its feet. That church that discovers again who God is and the Word of God, that begins to walk under a divine anointing. Jesus knew that the moment he spoke these words, that the attack would be on and the war would be on. But he stood in supreme authority on that day. He said, I don't stand before you as God Almighty. I stand before you as the Son of Man. Amen. But I have come for this purpose. I know I'll be tempted in every point, but without sin, amen, I will do the will of my Father. He said, I'll do nothing except my Father tells me. I say nothing except he first speaks it into me. Hear me, saints. That's the church of this hour. God is raising up such a church. Amen. It's a church that won't backslide. It's a church that won't fall by the way. It's a church that won't fail. Saints, we're being delivered today to say, anytime you raise up your head, I'm going to shoot it down. You start to do anything for me, I'm going to kill you in the offset. You think you can do something for me, I'm going to knock you out of the way. I say to you again, he's a liar and he's a father of every lie. I said, he's a liar. He's a father of every lie. All you got to do is walk in the will of God. He's going to shoot at me. Sure he is. You can be safe or you can be a soldier. I've watched more death than folks trying to be safe in this thing than ever I did. Somebody saying, God, whenever, wherever, however, whatever. Come on, church. You give yourself to Christ. You save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you'll lose your side for his sake and the gospel's sake, you will find it. Oh, my God. I said you will find it. God's looking for people. You know, I've preached many times yet. Oh, man, I began to contemplate this message. I thought, oh, God, I preached something like that. I know what it is, Monday, that thing to come down that pipe. I said, God, this is the deal. God, I'm going to preach this under the cloak of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm not going to stand aside in brash authority and preach this from the standpoint that I know what I'm talking about, that I'm a high noon type. I'm going to draw my six gun, shoot down the devil. What a foolish thought that is, saints. Anytime a man would lift up his hand against the adversary, he'll find as Peter did, Christ knows more about him than he knows about himself. God, I'll die with you if I have to. He said, Peter, you'll deny me three times before the cock crows twice. Hear me, saint. You consider yourself in these times. The only only way the church is going to overcome is because it's full of the Spirit of God. We're not resting on our spiritual strengths. We're not resting on who we are. We're not resting on what we know. We're not resting on where we've been. We're not resting on what God has done with us. We're resting upon one principle, who lives on the inside. Amen. And when we let vent who lives on the inside, God himself will manifest what he's brought us here to do. Amen. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry how we get from here to there. Amen. I don't have to worry. This is Sunday night. I don't have to worry about Monday. Amen. I don't have to worry about Tuesday. I don't know. They tell me that the interest rate's going up. There's certain things locked into that. I don't have to worry about a rising interest rate, and I don't have to worry about a lowering interest rate. Come on, church. I don't have to worry about the economies of the world, whether we have a Republican or a Democrat. I don't have to worry about whether it's American or European or it's Asian. None of that. The economies of the world, the militaries of the world. Saints, it's when that church gets its eyes fastened upon Christ, there is nothing that moves it. Amen. Jesus set his mind. He had his face set like flint. He is going to that hill. Saints of God, you and I must set our face toward that horizon. We're looking for the coming of the Lord, saints. But before that time, and until that time, we're here to do the will of God. Amen. That's our purpose on this earth. I'm not looking for a rapture right now because God has placed in me a will to do. Amen. And he's not going to preempt his own desire in our lives. He will accomplish the purpose of the church. I'm not serving a God that just slings me about at will haphazardly. I'm living for a God who knows exactly what he's doing, exactly when he's doing it. Amen. And if you and I get into the middle of the equation, when you know you're in the will of God, you don't have to know the times nor the seasons, the date nor the hour. You know that you're in the purpose of the divine God. I'm finite. He's infinite. I don't know everything. God does know everything. He's everywhere, but I'm not. He's one place when it concerns my life, and I can know what that is. Can you say amen? Hear me, saints. This is the thing that God hates. When that church rises up in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, we're afraid of many things right now. Much of it's ignorance of the future. But when that church stands up in the person of Jesus Christ, it won't be afraid anymore. Oh, hallelujah. I said it won't be afraid anymore. It will do exploits in a valiant manner. He's coming after a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. If you believe it, would you lift your hands in this place? Whoa, my God. I'm going to ask my wife to come to the piano as you and I are sharing with the Lord across this room. Oh, God, my God Almighty, my God Almighty. I want you to pray with me. Lift your voice across this room. Let's seek him in this house. Oh, let's seek him in this house tonight. Let's seek him in this house. Let's seek him out in this house tonight, Lord. Oh, God. Pastors, preach that word, God. Now I've got to receive that. What are you saying to me? God, my Father, what are you saying to me? My wife begins to play, and you're shut in with God tonight, saying this is the thing Satan hates. He hates a church that'll stand up in who Jesus is. He hated him when he stood there in the book of Isaiah. That was the worst day of his life. He knew this day marked time in his life. He knew this day marked time in his existence. He couldn't overcome him. He tried at birth. He couldn't overcome him. That dragon poured water out of its mouth to consume that virgin, but he couldn't overcome her. She brought forth that mind child. Read that in Revelation. Couldn't overcome him. Oh, my God. He would usurp the authority of God. He couldn't overcome God. God removed him, 30 of the angels. He's overcome him. He's angry. Oh, my God. He stood up that day in the book of Isaiah. He began to quote that. He was a personification of that prophetic word. The devil hates the church and stand up in the place. in that place of Christ. He hates that church. He hates that. He don't hate most of the church in Bayside. He don't hate that. Because it's so much like he is. It's bought into his thoughts and his lives. We've been removed from the person of Christ. We've become everything religious, but we've lost the power of God in our lives. We've sold out. Saints, we've said, I wouldn't give my soul for the world, but we've sold out for a whole lot less. He hates the church and stand up in the person of Christ. He don't mind one that'll stand up in its own strength and personality. Because it's just days down the road. It'll face the end of itself. Self always finds itself. You get a church and stand up in Christ. That's what he's going to despise in this hour. Lift your hands across this room. Ask God to make us that church. I'm not just talking about this church. I'm talking about the church across this globe, and we're part of it. Ask God to make his church up. Ask God to revive and strengthen his church. Ask God to breathe on those dry bones. Ezekiel, speak to those bones. Tell those bones to arise. Said, I prophesied on those bones. They stood up, exceeding great army. There's no breath in them and no spirit. He said, Ezekiel, call them to the four winds. Blow and breathe on those bones. That breath of the Holy Ghost moved across that valley. It stood up an arm, an exceeding great army. God, ask God to raise up that army of the church. Come on, church, ask God to do that. Ask God. Does God hear you when you pray? Ask God right now. Oh, stand to your feet with me across this building. Lift your hands. Lift your hands with it tonight, church. Ask God to raise up his church in this hour. Ask God. Ask God. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Lift your heart before the Lord. God, help your church to stand up for the person of who Christ is. God, that your church may stand up for the person of Christ. Against which hell has no authority. Oh, my God. Against which hell has no authority. Friend, you're here in this place tonight. Let me warn you, as I have often from this pulpit, you're more apt to fail than you are succeed. You get that down, you'll be better off. You're more close to failure than you ever are success. Your greatest efforts will land you up in some self-help program. Someone have to dig you out of a hole somewhere. That's what you're apt for, you and me. That's the best we can hope for. We're living in a downward spiral in society. The only hope for it is that Christ will return in the person of the church. Amen. There is one hope. We've got one chance to get this right. And there's not a lot of chance left, saints. The church is going to have to rise in this hour. It's going to have to rise up. The only way it's going to do that, it's going to find its way a long way back from much of the church, is the altar and the prayer meeting. We've got buildings today where we prepare lots of room for people to shout and dance and run the aisle, but we kicked the altar out years ago and we lost the anointing. I said we lost the anointing. We've made room for oratory from behind the pulpit, but we lost the altar that inspired it and gave it the power to preach. Come on, saints. We lost the cross. You lose the cross, you lose Pentecost. You don't get Pentecost until you have a cross. You go to Calvary before you get the upper room. Amen. We lost that. It's a long way back to the altar, saints. There's a wooden altar bench here. This doesn't represent it. That's just made out of wood. There's nothing particular about this at all, but it represents something very holy. When you and I baptize in water, it represents something very holy. When we partake of the communion of the Lord, it represents something very holy. But for most of the church, it's a long way back home. Most of the church can't find its way back because it's so filled with itself. It's so bought into the lie of this present hour. But there is a people that do know their God. There is a remnant that God's raising up in this hour. There is a remnant. You're going to find some strange folks sitting on our pews in the next days ahead. And you're going to find the absence of some that have been in the church all of their life. Because God's way in the hearts and minds of men. You're here tonight in this room. And you'd say, God, I want to stand up in the person of who Christ is. I realize that this is the very thing that Satan hates and despises. But Lord, I want to stand up in this hour in the person of who Christ is. If that's your desire, I want you to come and stand in this altar, shoulder to shoulder across this room. Lift your hands in this house. We're going to give ourselves to God this room as she begins to sing. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, have your way in me. I give myself to you. I give myself away to you. Have your way in my life. Work in me as you will. Here I am. Here I am to do the will of God. I give myself for the purpose, for the cause, and the call of the kingdom of God. You do in me what's necessary to be done in my life. Lord, I'm yours. I'm not my own anymore. I've been my own long enough. I've walked my own way. I've done what I want to do. I've made my decisions. Lord, I'm here tonight to place myself within your desire. I don't want to stand up in myself anymore. I've given the devil a lot of playroom and a lot of stuff to shoot at in my life. I've given him a lot of target through the years. I'm tired of giving him a target. Lord, I want to stand up in the person of the Son of God. I want to stand up in the Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, lift your voice across this room. Oh, let's seek him tonight in this house. My God, don't assume anything tonight, friend. Don't assume anything. Pour yourself out at God's altar. Give yourself to him. Let him do the work that only can be done to accomplish the purpose of the Lord.
And let your spirit work in me, because here I am. Here I am. My Lord, here I am. Yes, I give all myself to thee, my Lord, here I am. Here I am, my Lord. Oh, here I am. And let your spirit work in me, because here I am. Yes, I give all myself.
give yourself to God. You're so confident before God. You own me. You have me. I'm yours. I'm not my own anymore. I'm not my own. I know I'm yours. It's joy when you know He's pleased with you. Oh, God. It's a joy to know when you're in the will of God.
To have to refuse me. Surely there's a work I was born to do. And it doesn't matter if it is humble, yet my will to crumble. And I must say, cause to have to refuse me.